Hello, hello, ladies of no BS. Welcome. Happy Tuesday evening. Happy nighttime eating call. I'm Coach Lizzie, and I'm really excited to be here with you tonight. Okay. Oh, goody. I got some emojis already. So that tells me that I am not just talking to myself, that there are actually people who can hear me. That is lovely. Yay. Jean is here from Connecticut. Got a couple extra hearts and emojis. So somebody else is out there, so let's get this party started. Okay, this is our nighttime eating call, whether we're talking about dealing with nighttime emotional eating, nighttime drinking, nighttime gummy bears, worms, CBD, gummy whatevers. Like it's all here for tonight. And as we are welcoming our folks from Alabama, Texas, Oregon, everybody, we've got Alicia and Colleen and Rachel. Jennifer, yes, everyone is here. So excited. Rachel, I'm excited too. I'm glad you're here. And if you notice, I was feeling a little salty tonight, a little sassy. I renamed myself as Coach Liz Yay instead of Liz A or Lizzie because, yay, I get to be here with you. So as we're waiting for folks to come in, I wanted to remind you, if you did not get a chance, or even if you did, get a chance to see this month's newsletter. By the way, there's some really awesome stuff in the newsletter. You should check it out. But announcement, we are doing the candy challenge starting Monday, October 20th. So this is October, tends to be the Halloween season. It's a great opportunity for us to, have a little fun. And so in the newsletter, it explains that we're doing a candy challenge. So here's what's happening. Basically, when there's a food that you're like, I cannot control myself around. Halloween candy might be it. It could be cookies. I don't know. It could be hot dogs. You get to choose whatever the food is that you feel a little like, I just cannot control myself around it. This is a great opportunity for us to practice how to choose a food intentionally and let you be in control of your choices rather than the food controlling you. So what we're going to do starting Monday. So you take some time between now and next Monday, October 20th, go ahead and buy yourself that food, whether it's Halloween candy, fun size would be great. Corinne is having her favorite blondies. She's having a half a blondie each day. Here's what you do. You're going to put that food on your plan each day. And you may be like, I don't know if I can handle that. That's the purpose. We are purposefully, intentionally putting food on the plan that you want to eat and figure out how can I have this food in a way that, I enjoy it and I eat it, but it's not a free-for-all. I don't feel like, an outer body experience and the, body snatchers came along and suddenly the package is gone. So you're going to put it a little bit on your plan every day. You're going to put a portion on your plan. Christy says she's got Hershey Kisses with almonds. And so that's already a great start. And you can figure out how can you eat the food in a way that you get to feel in control of the food. And the whole point of this is because so many No BS women say, I just wish I could feel in control around my food. This is a great opportunity to do it with support, with community, when you're not alone, when you're not like by yourself in the kitchen, secret eating and being like, nobody can see me as I eat the entire thing. So this is really helpful so that you can do it together with us in the No BS community. So when you buy your food of choice, share it in the Facebook group. Take a picture, share what you've got. And then each day we're going to put it on your plan. Like I said, Corinne's got blondies on her plan each day. For me, it would be cookies. And because cookies are my thing, y'all. I like some cookies. And so we're going to put it on our plan. And here's the key. When you have that food on your plan each day of next week, enjoy it. Eat it slowly. It's like a mini fuck it foods, but like almost like enjoy it foods worksheet opportunity to like, I'm putting this on my plan. I'm having a single serving. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to eat it slowly. I'm going to taste it. And that is teaching your brain it is safe to have this food, that you can trust yourself around this food. Because here's the thing. And that's part of like this all kind of ties into nighttime eating as well, that we're going to talk about in just a minute, is that whenever we have a food that we feel a little bit out of control over, the food is not the problem. It's a signal. It's an indicator that there is a need underneath, and our brain is like, oh my God, we got a need. We got to fix it. Fix it, fix it, fix it, fix it. And it thinks that the fastest way to fix the need is with food. And because, I mean, yeah, that's worked in the past. So that makes sense. But what we want you to do is be able to slow down and enjoy the food and see what is the need underneath when I feel out of control of this food. Am I avoiding a feeling? Am I needing to feel comfort? Am I needing to feel connected, safe, and so forth? And so this is a lot about creating safety in your nervous system. A lot of what Coach Kathy talks about, you know, it's funny that we think about like safety seems like this sort of fuzzy, hard to get your fingers around kind of concept. But let's be honest, a lot of us don't feel safe around some of those bad foods because they're not bad. It's just that diets have taught us that. And we feel bad when we eat them because of diet culture. And so this exercise, the candy challenge, starting again Monday, October 20th, is an opportunity for you to create safety around those foods that you may have labeled in the past as good or bad. And again, not your fault. Diet culture has taught you that. And we at No BS want to teach you it's not about good and bad, it's about your choices. Right? Okay. So good. All righty. So, this is the nighttime meeting call. I would love for you to raise your hands. This is a live coaching call. As we're waiting for hands to be raised, just a couple of quick thoughts. Hang on, let me get my people's up attendees. All right, we got no hands raised so far, people. This is gonna be a brief call. Otherwise, please go ahead and raise your hands. But as we're waiting for people to raise their hands for our nighttime eating call, and anything goes, it does not have to be about nighttime eating. It does not have to be, it could be about drinking. Like I said, it could be at gummies. It could be about, you know, 3:37 in the afternoon eating. Anything goes. But what I wanted to address was there's sometimes you've been in No BS for a little while, whether it's 6 months, a year, 3 years, 5 years, you're like back in the PMP days. I was like, go, Corinne, she's my woman. I'm part of the tribe. It does not matter how long you've been here. You may have felt like, I love No BS. It has changed my life, changed the way I think about things. It's helped my marriage, my relationships. I'm so much lighter mentally. But I still haven't lost the weight. Anybody feel that way? Like anybody have that feeling? Give me any emojis, maybe, perhaps. So if you've ever felt that way, that like I love all of the teachings of No BS. And again, my mental state is so much better, but my physical state, like I still want to lose the weight. I haven't lost the weight yet. I lost a little, I gained a little. Let's talk about that. Like this is the perfect opportunity, the perfect kind of call for that because what's going on when you've shifted your thoughts, but you still find yourself overeating? You still find yourself eating at night when you're not hungry. Why? What's going on there? And again, I want to say that like that overeating, the, you know, reverting back to those old habits, that's not a problem. It's not a character flaw. It's a signal. When you are still overeating, when you have been in OBS for a long time and you're like, I love it, but I'm still not losing the weight, that is a signal that you have a need that wants to be met. And again, there is nothing wrong. It is a human biological fact that we all have needs. We have need for food, we have water, air, all that, but we also have needs for comfort, for rest, for community, connection. We have all kinds of needs. We are complicated creatures. Having needs is, again, it's not a character flaw. It is part of being human. The thing is, we have learned to take care of everybody else, to put our needs on the back burner, to shove it down in its nice little corner and not worry about it so that I can be approved of. so that I can be liked, so that I won't get yelled at. And the thing is, those needs don't necessarily go anywhere. They still have a, like a, they're still sending up that signal, and they're like, I have this need. And so that sort of ekes out sideways into your plate, onto your hips, because your body is saying, I have a need for comfort. I'm going to get it some way. It might be in the form of, chocolate after dinner. So let's talk about that tonight. Let's talk about our nighttime eating habits, our nighttime drinking habits, our nighttime gummy habits, because those habits are not a problem. They're a signal. They're a signal that you have a need and that there are lots of ways to meet that need. Just like if you have a toolbox full of tools, you have a need for a hole in the wall. A hammer could do it. A screwdriver could do it. A drill could do it. The drill's probably going to do it best, but a hammer, you could still, slam a hole in the wall with a hammer. Same thing with your body. You have a need for comfort. Food could do it. That's like putting a hole in the wall with a hammer. Taking a warm shower could do it. That's like kind of chiseling a hole in the wall with a screwdriver. This is a crazy analogy. Let's keep going with it. Or you could meet that need for comfort with like asking your partner for a hug. That's like using the drill. It's like it's the fastest way to get to what you want. All of the tools meet the need. It's just that some tools are more precise, more effective than others. And here's the thing. A hammer is not morally better or worse than a screwdriver or a drill. They're all just tools. Just like food is not morally better or worse than a hug or a warm shower. They're all just tools. They are methods to meet the need. Give me an emoji if anything that I'm saying is starting to resonate. Like, let me know if you're like, wow, this is helpful. I've got needs. I've just been meeting them with one of the tools that I have. Thank you for those emojis. It's very validating. I appreciate that. We all have needs, and so for so long, your body has had one tool in the toolbox, the hammer, food. In No BS, we give you more tools. We're not taking away the hammer. You can keep the food. Like, it is a effective tool, but let's give you other tools so that you can have other ways to meet your needs. And again, it's not about you're bad, you have no willpower, what's wrong with you, you should know better. I was talking to a client the other day, and we were talking about this and like kind of predicting patterns. And she was saying that, oh my gosh, now that we talk through it, it makes so much sense that her brain would want a reward at the end of the day. And she's like, I should know this. I was like, really? What diet taught you about your human needs? Anybody? Type into the chat. Which diet was it that taught you about that? Probably wasn't Weight Watchers. Probably wasn't keto. So what do you mean I should know this? This is not a class in high school. This is new territory. And so when you think to yourself, I should know this already, check yourself. That's just judgment with zero direction. Instead, say, I am learning how to meet my needs when nobody taught me how to do it. They just told me to follow the rules and shut up and get along. And so now we're saying, hey, let's look under the hood. Cool? So good. All right. We got Rachel and then Lee, and we'll promote to panelists and do some coaching. And anybody else, raise your hands, please. That would be great. Type your questions into the chat as well. See what happens. Here we go. Here's Rachel.
Can you hear me okay?
I can. Hi, Rachel.
Hi. I'm running to a movie where because I was working.
Oh, good. Well, so good to see you. I hope that you are in a like Pacific-ish time zone, because if you're working at this time of night, you're like, it's time to be off.
It's only 3:30,
Okay.
so
All right. You're excused. So, what's on your mind tonight?
I this is my first coaching call, so I'm a little nervous.
Well, I'm so glad to meet you and be your first coach. So, like, I'm excited too.
I just wanted to say how wonderful this program is.
Yeah.
And I had been struggling a whole lot. I mean, as everybody has with weight and all of that. And or like the themes, the monthly themes that you guys are doing have just been very helpful because it helps to focus on just one thing.
Right.
Now I'm focused on not nighttime eating, which
Great.
is an issue that I have had.
Okay.
Binging, I know. And so I'm getting over that, and I'm like almost to a point where I'm not snacking. I do still find myself going back to that pattern, of course,
Oh,
of,
sure.
oh, I'm in the kitchen and I'm going to go to the cupboard and get some food or whatever the
Yeah.
case is. And so maybe some suggestions on that would be helpful. But also, I do the CBD. It caught my ear, my attention when you were talking about the CBD gummies and stuff, because
Right.
I do that in the evenings. And for some reason, I have this weird mental thing that, okay, I'm not snacking, so I need to, like, it's filling, my brain is trying to fill with something else, right?
Okay.
And
Yeah.
so I'm not going to be able to sleep if I don't have this CBD gummy because I can't relax. And so
Okay.
that is probably my goal right now of figuring that out, because that's what I'm going to be working on in the next couple of months.
Okay.
That's my next
Cool.
phase plan.
Yeah, nice. Well, first, I just want to say thank you for raising your hand. I'm so glad you're here. I know that what we talk about will help somebody else that's listening. So thank you for having the courage to
I
say
hope
hello.
so.
When you mention nighttime eating and kind of like you've made a lot of progress, but sometimes you feel yourself falling back into old habits, just like having a need is normal, it's not your fault. Falling back into old habits, very normal, not your fault. So, I love analogies, as several folks in the chat will probably say that. So, here's a two analogies I want you to think about in terms of like falling back into old habits. In your brain, your brain cells, make connections together, and they almost make like tunnels. And it even it's you know I can get into the science of it. Basically, they make like tunnels for the electrical current to go through, and so. Your old habit of eating it the nighttime has been like repeated and repeated and repeated for a lot of reps. And so that tunnel got really strong. And it's sort of like the Department of Transportation in New York City or Chicago or some big city that's got the subway system. And so it's got this is like the main subway track. And suddenly the Department of Transportation's like, I know, we're going to create a new subway track that goes a slightly different direction. And so they divert the old track, so the trains go the new direction. That old track, it didn't disappear, it's still there. It's just gathering dust because it's not being used as much. And so you're on your new habits using that new subway track. Yay, it's all good. And then something happens, whether it's a stressful day, didn't sleep great, or who knows, something in the news, and your nervous system is like, eek. Alert, alert, it's a little bit of fight or flight. And it's like what your brain says is like when we feel in danger, whether that's again just fatigue or your boss looked at you weird, it says, okay, I want to feel safe and what is familiar feels safe. You know what feels familiar? That old subway track. Let's go back. And so again, that old subway track, those old habits of nighttime eating. They didn't go away, much as it would be nice to kind of brick over the old subway track. They're still there. Those neurons in your brain, they still have that tunnel shaped or like formed. And when your brain gets into a little bit of a fight or flight, it wants to go back to what's familiar. And that's why old habits are so easy to fall back into because they're familiar. And your brain is like, oh, this feels so safe and cozy because it's familiar. It's not your fault.
Thank you.
Welcome. The second analogy related to old habits is that new habits are sort of like riding a bicycle. That you don't have to be crushing it all the time. You don't have to be pedaling really, really hard. But the default, if you do nothing, is you will slow down and eventually fall over. And again, that's not a character flaw. It's just nature. And so when you're building a new habit and you're like, I just want it to stick and it to be easy, it's like saying, I just want to ride my bike and never have to pedal and just keep going. Which, of course, they now have these electric bikes, and I've not been on one. So, like, maybe this analogy breaks down with the new electric bikes. But anyway, the old school bicycles, you don't have to pedal super hard all the time, but you do have to pedal. So, your new habits, it is normal to have to continue to put in a little bit of effort. And so, when you fall, excuse me, find yourself falling back into old habits, normal. It's like your bicycle slowed down. Not a character flaw. It's just like, okay, time to pedal a little bit, time to put in a little bit of effort and get back into it. How's that land for you so far?
That's helpful, thank you. Because what I've been doing is, I think we had the nighttime overeating, binge eating a couple months ago. And so back then I started planning. I'm just like, it's really hard because with all of these lessons, I'm sure the other ladies feel me, that you don't understand it until it clicks. And so you guys talk about like, oh, plan your meals, plan your snacks, plan all of the things. And so it's like, but I shouldn't be planning the snacks in the evening because that's what I don't want to do. And so then I did. I just like made it a plan and added all of my items. And I have slowly, progressively just been okay now. For a couple weeks, I just ate like whatever I wanted because it was on the plan. And then I reduced to like, okay, well, maybe I don't need one of those snacks. And so I would just plan the other two and slowly, progressively work down. But like you were saying, if something happens in life where, oh, it was a busy day and I have a 6-year-old, and so, oh, she was stressful or whatever like that, then I just literally find myself in front of the cupboard. And I'm like, it's been a couple months. How is this still happening?
Is the subway track still there? Yeah. Again, it's not a character flaw. It's not willpower. It's not a weakness. It's just you had a stressful day. You have a 6-year-old, for goodness sakes. That's a lot. And sometimes your brain's going to be like, I want to go back to what feels safe and familiar and easy. Makes sense. And so, how do you talk to yourself the next day?
That was a huge thing too, I noticed, and that you guys talk about of like not like Corinne talks about, don't beat yourself up. You wouldn't talk to your friend like that. And so I've been focusing on that also. And so I'll fall into that habit or whatever. And I just say, no, we're not gonna think about that or move on. What is the solution and what can I do better next time? But I still, of course, find myself just like, oh, well, he blew it again. And so I just tell myself, like right now I'm working on that self-talk of no, we're not going to talk to ourselves like that. This is, I would not tell Coach Lizzie you blew it again. I would I'm going to say no, we make a plan for next time and move on. I know there's the effort eating cheat sheet worksheet, and I have not done one of those. I probably should.
Well, the Pocket Foods worksheet is a fantastic resource. I'm gonna find it and put it into the chat here. But it's great to kind of help you slow down and be intentional about some of those foods that feel triggering, that feel like, it's kind of hard to eat them. I even had a client once who, whenever she would have an overeat, the next day she would purposefully put that food, a lot of times it was ice cream, on her plan, and she would do it with a Fuck It Foods worksheet. She was like a
Oh, that's a good
pro
idea.
at the Fuck It Foods worksheet. So, overeat last night, slightly and unintentional. Tonight, I'm going to have that same food intentionally and do it with the Fuck It Foods worksheet and really taste it. And that kind of goes into what we're talking about with this candy challenge, is that diets give you rules. Do this, not that, and you're good or you're bad. With no BS, like, we want you to make choices. You make a choice and you can like your reasons, not like your reasons. It's going to have, a result on your body, and that's fine. It's just like, you let's say, like, you went to the beach with some friends and your family, and you stayed out a little bit too long, you got a sunburn. Oops. You made a choice. there was a physical reaction. Your skin was a little red and sensitive. Were you bad or shameful? No, like it just was like, okay, I made a choice. Next time we're going to course correct. Going to put a little extra sunscreen on. Similar with like an overeat or that type of thing. So
Very
it
good.
sounds like your self-talk after an overeat is improving. What would you say?
Slightly improving, yes. I've been mostly working on like but like last night, it's funny that you were talking about eating the candy or whatever your indulgence food would be on Monday, because last night, or I had purchased Halloween candy in preparation. And of course, I'm like, you're not going to eat any of the candy. You're going to put it in the cupboard and forget about it. But then there's no realistic, like, actual action plan there of this is what I'm going to do when I'm tempted. So, of course, I found myself going to the cupboard and getting the food. But after the fact, I did just take out a handful, and I actually handed my husband a couple extra pieces of candy. And I sat there and I did. I like was eating M&Ms, and I told my husband, I had had some of the CBD gummies, just know that. But I told my husband, like the M&Ms, the chocolate is just so much poor quality chocolate.
Oh
And
no.
then the candy coating, I could literally feel like glass shards in my mouth. And I'm like, why am I eating this even? And so that was good, like a good experiment and exercise that was, I think, was helpful.
So let's take that example of like reaching into the cupboard for the Halloween candy, and we can also use this parallel with the CBD gummies. Is that l let's start with the candy. So can you give me an example, a specific moment recently when you went into the cupboard to get the Halloween candy out? Do you remember a moment recently?
Literally last night, it was I grabbed a handful, and just before I knew it, I'm in the kitchen doing cleaning or whatever. And I've been trying to focus on like closing down the kitchen. But for whatever reason it was last night, I went over there and grabbed a whole handful of candy.
Well, let's see if we can unearth what that reason might have been. Because, like I said earlier, you have a need. Nothing wrong with having a need. Your brain was meeting the need with candy. That's your humor. That's and so it worked. But like, let's just explore. So tell me a little bit more. You were cleaning up the kitchen. What happened earlier in the day? Was it a normal day, stressful day, anything unusual?
Well, we're getting ready to go on vacation, and so I've been already kind of stressing about that and trying to make a plan so that I'm not overeating, and then plan times when we will go out to dinner. And I will choose to eat whatever I want to eat until sat and focus on satisfied was what I was have been doing. And so it could be that as a trigger potentially of I'm so stressed about overeating on vacation that I'm just gonna F it and eat a whole bunch of Halloween candy right now. I don't know
Which,
for sure, but I feel like that's kind of probably it.
and like old Rachel, Diet Rachel could have been like, damn it, what's my problem? And no BS, Rachel says, this is a signal. There's something going on here. This is not a character flaw. This is about something else. So you had some thoughts about your vacation. You want it to go well. You want it to be intentional about how you eat. You want to enjoy it, but it's a little stressful, and so your stress levels are amped up on top of perhaps a normal day, and you have a 6-year-old. Dinner rolls around. Do you happen to remember any specific thoughts around as you're cleaning up?
Well, so I had an appointment, and so my husband was working on dinner, and he had trying been like he had been trying to do something on the roof because it's raining and he was cleaning out there. And so I told him, you know what, just order pizza. You've had a long day and lots of stress, so just order pizza and it will be fine. And I think that that's maybe one of the things also, because it wasn't planned, it was just like spur of the moment. Okay, we're gonna eat pizza.
Do you think that you were perhaps judging that choice at all, or was it like an intentional pivot and I like my reasons?
I try to say that it was an intentional pivot and I like my reasons, but I think in the back of my mind, it was like, no, you had a plan and now you're going against the plan.
Okay. So if we were private coaching together, I would probably do a little bit more like investigating and discovering like what was leading up to this. But we've got a couple of clues so far. So we've got a normal stressful day, just life. But then you've got the trip coming up and some anxiety around that. It's exciting, but also you want it to go well. Your husband's on the roof. I'm sure there's no concerns about that.
I tried
He's
to get him to wait until I got home, and he just decided like he's gonna climb up on the roof because he's him and do it himself.
Yeah, I can't point any fingers. That sounds like something I would do. But so you've got that going on, plus perhaps you feel bad. He's been working hard, and I had a plan for dinner, but we're pivoting to pizza, and oh, I kind of judge myself for that. And you know what? I already blew it. Let's go ahead and go. So perhaps all of that's coming to like the perfect storm of like, let's go ahead and have the candy. So the need, there's kind of multifactorial needs going on there, but you've got a need to for relief from the diet, the rules, a need of relief from the stress of planning. And the candy was like a quick fix. And so it makes sense. Again, the candy was the hammer. It could create a hole in a wall. If we were to reverse engineer that, like to do it over again, and you realize that after the long day, after the stress of the thoughts of the trip, husband's on the roof, we had pizza. It's after dinner. You have a need for like relief. The hammer is the candy that can create a hole in the wall, but a drill can create like a little bit more like targeted. What else could give you relief in that moment that would like actually meet the need when your body's not hungry?
I've been working, well, I've been trying to carry a water bottle around with me. And so I drink water. And then I also have been enjoying making teas in the evening. I keep making the tea and it's all wonderfully great, but then I forget to actually drink the tea because I let it like cool down slightly. And then before I know it, I've forgotten about it. So I think that that would be a good goal is just keeping it like in hand or something like that so that I remember that
And
we're
does
that's
drinking
what we're
water
focusing
or drinking
on.
tea create relief for you? Does that meet that need?
I don't know. I sort of feel like it's a swap of foods for foods,
Okay. Well,
maybe.
let's get to that need. Like if we I mean food's an option, but if we were to take food off the table temporarily and you're like, I just want to feel relief, relaxed, what else could do that in the moment?
I don't know because I was watching TV. I could like go take a shower, or like go, I don't know, it was dark, so I can't go outside. But I don't know. I know there's options. It's just
Okay.
hard to think of in the moment.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. It is hard to think of in the moment, which is why something, a conversation like this is useful. And something that I, talk to some of my clients about is like create a note in your phone of ideas of ways to help you relax, rest, and meet those needs other than food. Again, we're not taking it away. We're just saying maybe let's try this first. I'll tell you what, Rachel, I have been surprised. And I almost hate to admit this because, like, I'm a perfectionist at heart. I'm like, let's get the shit done.
Me too.
I have been surprised by like just letting myself sit down and relax for 5 minutes with no guilt and no shoulds. I'm like, fuck me, that is relaxing.
I
Who
don't know
knew?
what that means.
I know
Sit.
it's so hard to do it. Yeah.
I'm a perfectionist too. I've been realizing that over like the past probably 3 months. I joined No BS in January.
Okay.
And it was funny because the first time I noticed Corinne was talking about like relax, just relax. And in one of the 365s, I think she said something about self-care. We were focusing on self-care. And she
Yeah.
said something as simple as just relaxing your jaw.
Right.
And I was like, I totally do that.
Right.
And then, like, just over the past, like, themes, I've noticed more and more, like, what a perfectionist I am. And so I am at simultaneously when I'm trying not to be snacking and things, I'm more so, like you mentioned, the life skills are just so invaluable in this course because I've noticed that and I'm trying to work on that as well. And so I'm sure that you're right. And that's one of the things I just go and focus on sitting there and being as opposed to what I need to do the next moment.
Yes, and now let's transition to talking about the CBD. So I'd love for you to tell me if I'm wrong, but I'm guessing that if you were to sit and just relax for 5 minutes, it'd be like, for about 6 seconds, and then the to-do list would come in, and the shoulds, and the thoughts. Am I
Right.
right or no?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's
I could be relaxing while I'm folding the laundry.
could be
At
if that is your jam. Okay.
least that's what I tell myself.
Okay. Let's go with something that's, I mean, again, no shade, but we really want to meet that need rather than like be productive and sort of tell ourselves we kind of sort of met the need. So the CBD, I have a hypothesis that the CBD is meeting the need of like mental quiet and just like,
Yeah,
what do you think is the need?
I could see that. So yeah, when my daughter is adopted, and when we were first in that process, I probably was on the verge of a mental breakdown. And my husband was like, "Here, try this. It will help you calm down." What a great idea. And so
It met a
probably for
need.
like the 6 years, I've been doing that, and then that's actually probably one of the things that led to snacking, I think, so much, just like that in general. And so I'm working on the not eating so much more, but yes, I'm trying to figure out ways to work on that as well and not
Well,
needing those gummies.
let's back it up a second. What's the problem with having a CBD gummy at night?
I don't know. I know it's kind of weird, but my biggest concern is like, what if my work does drug testing? That's like really the biggest concern because you guys have helped me to overcome the eating for the most part. And obviously, it's an ongoing process. But I think that's probably the biggest concern.
Full disclosure, I am not well versed on laws and CBD versus THC,
Oh.
etc. But
Well, everything is legal in Oregon now.
okay, so hypothetically, if what you're the substance you're having is a legal substance,
Yes.
like are there rules at your work that even though it's technically a legal substance, you can't have it in your system? I'm not
I
sure.
don't know. They haven't done testing in so long, but it's weird because my family is very religious, and so it may be even just adding to the stress of this is morally wrong. I shouldn't be doing this. And so that might be like one of the, as I'm talking to you, I'm just like, huh, is it really an issue?
This is so helpful because, and like, I was talking to a client earlier today about alcohol, and it was like, what's the problem with having a glass of wine at night, every night? And it's like, well, I don't know. It depends. We have so much societal and moral judgment around it. And if we could just sort of put that to the side and be like, is this causing a problem in my life? Potentially, but maybe not. Maybe we just have this
Yeah.
mental rule that it's bad when like it's actually helping. I don't
Yeah.
know. And so you get to decide. Again, you're a Nobius woman. You get to be in charge of your choices. Is this, regardless of whether, the religious structures that you were raised with say whether it's good or bad, it's more like you get to make a choice. Is it creating a problem for you? And if so, great, let's address it. If not,
Yeah.
then do you want to guilt yourself over something that's not a problem? It's up to
Yeah.
you.
All right. Yeah. That's very good. Yeah. With Like it was kind of an issue because it tends to cause like it's weird. I think it's more so like I need water,
Sure.
but you know how it is, if you're not drinking the water, then you're gonna go eat. And
Okay.
so I gained like 50 pounds. I was doing really, really well, and
Okay.
I gained like 50 pounds, and that was what spurred me to join No BS, because I had actually been listening to Corinne's podcast several years
Yeah.
ago, and I lost like 70 pounds, something like that. It was wonderful. Yeah.
Hey,
And then
okay.
I was like, man, I need to get back to Corinne. And so in January, I joined No BS, and it's completely different structure, but has been wonderful and helpful.
Great.
And I've been able to, even with doing the seat like the gummies and stuff, even with that, I just feel like I'm gaining more control with the ability to have that choice, and
Right.
now mentally knowing that I have that choice. I don't know that it's an issue as much, like more so, like you said, now talking to you, I'm realizing I think it's a moral feeling as
Right.
opposed to an actual issue.
Yeah. So I'm going to give you, and I'll put this in the chat as well. I'm going to give you three questions to ask yourself when there's something like alcohol or CBD that could be a problem, but maybe isn't, and but you're judging yourself around it. So like I said, I'm going to put this in the chat. So it's number one, what's the story I'm telling myself about this? For example, this is what I told my client earlier today. I have a story for myself around alcohol that if I drink too much alcohol, I'm going to become my mother. Or rather, yeah. And like, so that's a story. And then, so the second question is, what are you making that mean? I'm making that mean that's bad because when I was in my teenage years, she would drink and, you know, great relationship with my mom, but we're all flawed. She would sometimes like say some passive aggressive things that I was like, well, that was shitty. That really didn't feel so great. And I never want to be that. And so I'm like, oh my God. I'm the worst human ever. The third question is, what am I afraid of? I'm afraid of not showing up in a way that I'm proud of. And so then it's like, all right, with this substance, is that a legitimate possibility? Could be, it depends on how much. And so then I get to choose for me what am I okay with? What is not okay? And like, how do I want to make a choice for me rather than operating on these old rules that like I learned when I was 16?
Yeah, wonderful.
Yeah.
I love
And
that.
thank you, Jean, for putting those in the chat. So what's the story I'm
Yes.
telling myself? What am I making it mean? What am I afraid of?
I love that.
Cool.
That's
So
wonderful.
Rachel, what I would love for you to do is send a note into Ask Coaches, and I see your last name too, so I can hunt you down. Like, let's work through this and see if do you want to specifically just work on the eating for now, and like CBD, we're going to leave it alone, have some water with it, or do you want to work on the eating and the CBD at the same time? You get to choose.
Yeah, I'm working on eating right now, and I think that's going really, really well. It's funny because I've been journaling in Chat GPT because Corinne made that suggestion, and it is
Yeah.
awesome, ladies, if you have not tried it. I literally put in there, coach me in the style of Corinne Crabtree with a biblical foundation, and it like created this whole amazing like coaching. And
So
it's like,
good.
hey, remember this? These are your
Yeah.
wins. This is great. And it's going very well. But I've been making really great progress with the food. And so, in the next probably month or so, I do want to start
Okay.
focusing on the CBD thing. And but this is good food for thought and consideration.
Great.
And so,
Yeah. Well, I want you to reach out to me specifically so we can help you with wherever you want to take your direction. And just remember, like, the behaviors are not a problem. They're a signal. They're signaling that you have a need, and there's nothing that's very natural, normal human thing to have a need. You have a need to feel less anxiety, to feel rest, calm. And so, how do you want to choose to meet that need?
You want me to answer and ask coaches, right?
I want you, I
I
tell you
can't
what,
think possibly.
I'm gonna copy down your name and I'm gonna reach out to you. So
Okay.
we'll take it from there.
Okay. Wonderful.
But yeah, so for anybody who is listening, those are the questions that I want you to think about is like, how does my behavior indicate that I'm meeting a need? Did I just get rid of Zoom? Rachel, are you still there?
No, you're here. You're
Oh,
here.
thank God.
Am
You
I
just disappeared behind my windows. Oh my
here?
gosh, I've never done this before. Where did it go? There you are. Okay, phew. Anyway, okay. So do you feel like you've got what you need for tonight?
Yes, that's so helpful. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you, Rachel. I appreciate you raising your hand.
Thanks.
All
Bye.
right. Bye-bye. Okay, so we're gonna get Lee up for coaching. And let's see, we got a couple of Q&As here. Laura says, my tool is alcohol this summer. I don't want to stop and replace it with something else. I'm getting enough sleep and working on using the halftime method and increasing my water. Movement is still an ongoing skill I'm working on. This was a stressful summer in our family with my son's divorce. It's now final. He's doing better now and is in a better place, but I'm realizing that I turned to alcohol to cope. I recently treated myself to a self-care spa day, and that helped. I did it in August for my birthday. I can afford to do that every couple of months. What else can I do for myself? Okay, Laura, I super appreciate you writing that in. So just as you wrote, like your the alcohol is meeting a need to kind of relax and cope from the stress of the summer with your son's divorce. And so what else could help you cope with stress? Lots of different options. Alcohol, and you know, I am raising my hand that I like, I love me a glass of wine. But it's interesting that alcohol does not actually help with stress. It certainly feels good in the moment and it numbs it. But if you go into the science of it, basically the heart rate variability that when we recover from the alcohol, it actually increases stress. So if we're looking at what's the outcome we're solving for, you're solving for coping with stress. Okay. What are things that could genuinely help you do that? There could be deep breathing exercises. You could walk. You could meditate, you could journal, hand on your heart. Tapping is a good one. Certainly, if like kind of a in the moment first aid tool, if you find yourself sort of ruminating on the divorce of like, oh, just, oh, it really gets under my skin and that type of thing. A tool that I really like is look to the wall to your left, look to the wall to your right, look to the wall in front of you. Look to the ceiling. And now you've kind of grounded yourself in this room and realize, in this room, am I safe? Hopefully, yes. Hopefully, no one's coming at you with like a hatchet. And that can help you realize that this stress I'm feeling around my son's divorce or other things that are going on this summer, it's in my head. And I can kind of settle back down into like, we're safe. My son is safe. It's not in a situation that I would prefer, but he is safe, we're safe, I'm safe. And that is a way to kind of ground yourself. So those are some thoughts there. So, hi Lee, how are you?
Hey, I think I've completely forgotten everything
Oh, good.
I Got really involved in the last coaching, and then I just everything that I was thinking kind of went out the window. But so the main thing is that I've been here for almost 2 years, and I lost 25 pounds before I went to came to Nobias and 25 pounds since, but
Great.
now I'm stuck on the same 5 pounds for the last 9 months.
I love this. Okay.
Up and down and up and down and up and down. And I listen to lots, I do worksheets, I have an accountability partner. I'm doing pretty good with planning more on the side of planning meals for my family
Okay.
2 weeks at a time. And since I've been doing that, I have a hard time stopping at enough at dinner because my husband and I both are really good cooks and it tastes really good.
Okay.
want that extra bite. And I keep telling myself, no, you can have something at lunch tomorrow, or you can. So I'd stop at one or two bites over, but not right when I know that it's enough.
Okay.
So I'd like to be coached on that, I think.
Fantastic. So I love that you, first of all, congratulations for all the success you've had. And it's very helpful that you brought, I've same 5 pounds over the last 9 months. And for anybody who's listening, if you have kind of been up and down with the same couple of pounds for a long time, the question I want you to ask yourself is, what's the main obstacle getting in the way of my weight loss? And Lee, you answered it before I could ask, which was, I'm not stopping at enough at dinner. And you even told me why. It's not Doesn't sound like it's about meeting this like deep need for rest or appreciation or anything. It's just, it tastes so good. Okay, fantastic. So you know you're overeating a little bit at dinner because you're a good cook and it tastes great. Before I, offer you strategies, what have you tried in the past to help you stop it enough?
If I'm sitting at a table, I push my plate away and cross my arms.
Okay.
If I'm sitting in the den watching TV, which happens a lot,
Okay.
I put my plate on the other ottoman where I can't really reach it anymore, even though it has bites on it.
Okay.
Or I give it to my son if he's there and he wants it. He's 25 and a beanpole
Okay.
and climbs trees for a living, so he gets plenty of exercise and eats, and
Right.
he's a normal, very normal eater. If he's not hungry, he doesn't eat. If
Okay.
he's too tired, he sleeps first and then eats.
Okay.
So if he doesn't want
What?
it, he won't eat it. But
Okay.
so I'm not pushing it off on anybody, is what I'm getting at
Got it.
there.
What experience have you had, if any, with trying to serve yourself less to start with?
Well, I do that kind of anyway. I serve myself like less than half of what I serve anybody else.
That's fine, but is that amount still more than enough for you?
Sometimes, yes.
Okay.
I'm
And it
not
could.
really sure because by the time I finish cooking and I'm ready to eat, I'm starving. So.
Okay.
Okay. Eyes bigger than my stomach kind of thing, I guess.
Yeah. When I was actively trying to lose weight, I learned that like a monk meal, which is like eating a meal with no distractions, or halftime method, which is eating half and then stopping and pausing. I really didn't like that. I was like, I do not like being mindful. I
Those
want to
either.
clean my plate.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I haven't tried the monk meal thing because I know I would just go insane the whole time.
Yeah. And that's okay. But so I decided to get around that by starting with less. And, I did it gradually. I'd be like, okay, here's the amount of food I think I want. Let's put a quarter of it back. And of course, my brain would be like, that's hardly any food. There's no way that's enough. To which I would respond, let's just see. Like, we're not talking about
Yeah.
rules. We're going to see what happens. And over time, I began to realize, oh my gosh, my body doesn't need as much food as I thought it did. So when you say, I serve myself half of what I serve other people, well, if your 25-year-old son is a beanpole and exercises by climbing trees all day, it would make sense that his body might need more food.
I myself about a third of what I give him.
And so, our brains are wired to compare, and that is, part of what we do. But regardless of how much they eat, it doesn't necessarily mean that half of what they eat is the right amount for you. Your body can tell you what is the right amount for you.
And I know when my enough is. I ignore it.
Say more about that.
So, one of the things that comes to mind is that I'm hypoglycemic. So, if I don't get enough protein at meals and enough combination of protein, carb, and fat, At regular intervals during the day, I crash.
Okay.
And that feels horrible. And it usually, if I don't eat right one day, it can carry over into the next day of feeling terrible. So I'm always in my head, because I've been this way all my life, and in my head I'm fighting with, well, did you get enough protein? Did you really eat enough? Are you gonna be out driving around somewhere without a snack in 2 hours and crash?
Okay.
I mean, you know,
So your body has learned to fear hunger a little bit
yeah,
for good
I
reasons.
guess.
Yeah. Okay. So that's really helpful to know that, again, it's not a willpower thing. It is that your nervous system has learned that hunger equals danger. Hunger equals we don't operate well, we feel bad. And so we really
Right.
want to avoid that. And you avoid that by overeating. You said a minute
And it's
ago.
been passed out a long time that I have.
Okay. Yeah.
And I get all jittery and, you know, dizzy and
Yeah.
feeling cold sweats and just all
So
the
it
things that
makes.
happen with low blood sugar.
Yeah, it makes complete sense why your brain would really want to avoid that feeling. And so its solution is let's overeat now so we don't have to worry about, low blood sugar later. You said a minute ago, like, what if I'm driving around and I don't have a snack? So, what could be some strategies to help you stop it enough, but also be prepared in case your blood sugar drops later?
Well, carry almonds, of course, but that means I got to be prepared.
Okay. What's the problem with that?
Nothing.
Okay. I
I
mean,
just got to be more prepared.
okay. And I mean, legitimately, like there could be some reasons why that wouldn't work. And so we'd want to explore that. But if it's just a question of it's too hard, it's a hassle and so forth, then that could be somebody to be like, is it really? Would I rather carry almonds and lose weight or overeat and not carry almonds? So again, it becomes more of an intentional choice rather than a reactive behavior.
Right. Yeah, because I'm doing better, a lot better at planning things, my favorite rescue food is peanut butter, because that works the best. I
Okay.
know people, a lot of diabetics rescue with sugar, but I don't do well rescuing with sugar. It
Right.
just like this up and then back down.
Yeah.
So I got to be a good Boy Scout, like my two Eagle Scouts, and be prepared.
Be prepared. So, Lee, if you were to give yourself an action step, a couple of action steps for this next week to experiment with, how could you aim to stop it enough, even though it tastes really good? While also helping yourself be prepared when your brain's like, yikes, what if we get hungry later? You're like, it's okay, we have a plan.
One action step would be to fix me some little baggies of nuts
Okay.
so that I can just grab one. Because if I leave them in the car when it's really hot outside, which of course is not now, but if I leave them in the car in the summertime, it's nasty. So I could fix, prefix, prepare baggies of nuts. I could get some of those single serving size of peanut butters.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I know they exist. I've seen them. I hate all that plastic stuff and extra packaging and all that stuff. That's why I've not done it.
Yeah.
I could get some little bitty silicone containers or something, maybe.
Could do that. Yeah. So that those are ideas to help you be prepared in case your blood sugar drops. What would help
So,
you plan for stopping at enough at dinners?
bad food, no.
That's an option. What other options are there?
Not gonna happen. I don't do noodle blob because my husband calls anything that's something nobody would want.
All right, so we're taking that one off the table.
That's off the table. Anyway, so I make jokes when I'm nervous, sorry. Well, the obvious thing is to put even less on my plate than I am now.
Okay. Are you willing to experiment with that?
I think so.
If you do choose to experiment with serving yourself less, here's what I would caution you to expect. Expect your brain to look at less and be like, that's not enough food. And say, so expect that and reply with, let's just see. I'm going to eat this food. I'm going to finish it and enjoy it. Enjoy it. That's important. And wait 10 minutes. So when you finish eating, the second thing I want you to expect is as soon as that last bite is finished, your fork goes down on the plate, your brain is going to say, I could totally eat more. Let's go right now. Expect that and just say, maybe, let's see. We're going to wait 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes tops. Just wait a little bit. So expect your brain to say, it's not enough food. And then when you finish that food, expect your brain to say, I want more. That is not a surprise. It's normal. Nothing's gone wrong. And you're not fighting against your brain. You're not saying no. You're saying, let's just see. And so you finish your plate, your brain says, let's have more. And you say, let's just see. We're going to wait a minute, maybe two, maybe five. Whatever feels comfortable. Like I want your brain to feel safe. But like once you've waited a little bit, then check in and say, here's the very important piece. Am I still hungry? Which is different than saying, am I at enough? Because enough is fuzzy. Like, I can always eat more. Whereas, am I hungry is usually binary. It's usually yes or no. So, step one, serve yourself less. Expect your brain to say that's not enough. Reply with, let's just see. Step two, eat your food, enjoy it. Expect your brain to say, I want more. Reply with, let's just wait a second. Wait however much time you're comfortable with. And then ask, am I still hungry? And any answer is okay. You're just collecting data. You're just seeing. How's that sound for you?
That sounds good.
Okay, great. And then you've
Good.
got almonds or some, let's see, Mel said that there's a company called RX that makes prepackaged nut butters. You could have that in your purse if you're going somewhere, or if it's dinner at home, the pantry is usually there. So if your blood sugar dips, you have a rip cord effectively to kind of help you avoid that negative crash. How's that feel for an action plan?
That sounds like a good plan.
Okay, great. I would love it if you give that a shot for a couple days, maybe a week, and then write to me and ask coaches or tag me in Facebook and let me know how it goes.
I will try to do that.
Fantastic. Great. Well, thank you, Lee. I so appreciate you raising your hand tonight.
Thank you. Thanks for taking me.
You bet. All right. Excellent. All right, everybody. This has been our nighttime eating call. Just a quick reminder that we've got our candy challenge starting next Monday, October 20th. And, it kind of like we've been talking all along that it's about you making choices. Diets give you rules. No BS helps you make choices. They're not good, they're not bad. It's like what is working for you, and you can ask yourself, what's the story I'm telling myself about this food that I want to eat that I think is bad? Is it actually bad? Or is it just a story I've been telling myself? And as the person who I spoke to earlier was saying that like she had the M&Ms and it didn't really even taste that good. So you get to decide, you get to make those choices. And when you've got that food that it really is amazing, enjoy it. Love it. All right, that's what I've got for you tonight. Have a great evening, and I will see you on the interwebs. All right, everybody. Bye.